Hello, welcome to Truth News Radio Australia. It's Monday, the 2nd of November, 2009. Welcome to another show. We've had a break for a couple of weeks. I've been pretty busy. Josh, welcome to the show, Josh Jackson.
Ah, Harewood. I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you aboard. Now, just to explain why we haven't done a show for a while, we've had quite a lot of activity going on here in Sydney. I've been preparing for a film, which is an amazing new film by Dylan Avery called Loose Change 9/11 An American Coup. And we've been leafleting, pamphleteering, we've been out on the streets, you know, pressing the flesh.
We've been on the bullhorns, we've been on the soapboxes, we've been on the streets, and especially you, Harewood, my good friend. You've been
I've been out there. I've been doing the politicians' game, meeting the people.
You meet the crazy nut jobs that really attack people. That's always fun as well. But meet the fun people.
Look, there's all kinds out there. We do get a bit of acrimony. You know, we do get spat on every now and then, metaphorically. Occasionally we get a bit of aggression. I had one chap come up to me in Newtown on Sunday when I was handing out materials, and he got very quite aggressive. I thought he was going to actually have a swing at me, actually.
Really?
This was down in Newtown. There was a goth festival on there in Newtown outside the neighborhood center. And
good old goths.
He just was like doing the kind of I'm an American. He didn't sound like an American, but anyway, he claimed that he was an American citizen, and you know, he found it offensive, you know, to see people, you know, spreading such lies and filth.
It's offensive to mention anything that might, you know, disturb your point of view or your life. You know, the propaganda that's been pumped into your brain for the last 3 years. It's offensive to try and correct that.
It is, and you know they find it offensive that you question their gods, you know, and it's like you are an evil, and it doesn't matter what you're saying, and it doesn't matter how earnest you are.
No,
when you're confronted with that sort of attitude, and it's really interesting because you've got to get out there to see it, and it's really important. I think that people realize that attitude is out there.
Yeah.
Because that's what blocks us, you know. People have this built-in defense mechanism, and they have to cast you in the position of being some kind of evil threat to sort of defend their own world model. This is a classic cognitive dissonance that we've been facing in this movement.
No, it sure is. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where I let someone know, and if they're interested, if they're engaged, I'll continue the conversation. But I'm not going to take abuse from these people anymore. If they're really that far down some sort of nightmarish hole where they think that people that lied about weapons of mass destruction, mainstream media, everybody knows, people that lied about what's going on in Iran. People that lie, you know, just constantly lies all around us, and it's mainstream news. You know, people that lie about torture, people that all this sort of stuff. You know, they're the ones in power, and if you really believe that these people told the truth about 9/11, and when you're that far down some crazy hole, then look, you're too far gone for me. And if you're really gonna look, and if someone legitimately wants to debate it, not a problem. I've got not a problem with that. But when they start getting angry and defensive, like really, you know, want to get violent almost, you just got to leave them alone and just say, well, you guys can just rot in what's coming, because it's without knowing, you know, without having a torch of truth to be able to see at least a little bit. I mean, that sounds very sort of, you know, the torch of truth. That sounds a bit, you know, religious. But what I'm saying is when you have some sort of scope, some sort of understanding of reality, it lets you really prepare for the future a bit better. It lets you prepare for future events in terms of your own personal life, but also lets you prepare, you know, mentally and physically, just in terms of, you know, what sort of food to have around, what sort of financial situation you should be in for massive meltdowns and or massive booms, you know, booms and busts. It lets you understand that sort of
being
thing.
Being aware of information, you mean?
Yeah, an awareness of reality and not just, you know, count, you know, and this is typical propaganda. It comes from, you know, the broadcast. Broadcast is the most extraordinarily powerful propaganda tool because there's no feedback. And this is the type of people that just listen to broadcasts. They don't jump on the internet. They don't discuss. They don't debate. They just get one-sided view and that's it. Their mind's made up. And you know, you can pretty much tell 100% of the people that at least 95% of the people that are really anti any sort of, you know, 9/11 truth or anything like that really don't jump on the internet quite.
Well, and it's
often,
not just, you know. It's certainly not restricted to subjects about 9/11. I mean, I've encountered it, obviously, with questioning global warming, and you find that the same type of righteous indignation when we question it. Like they won't accept it that it actually just is actually a factual scientific, you know, matter, which is up for questioning. They react with the same way like a religious person would act if you defecated on the you know, on the pulpit in church. That's the extreme manner in which a lot of people react.
I agree.
And you're just expressing opinion about a scientific matter about, you know, temperature. But it's like, suddenly, how dare you?
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to get into that. Let's just take a quick sting and we'll get into that. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Yeah. Well, we are going to get into some interesting topics tonight. I've got a lineup here of some recent developments, some not quite so recent. We haven't done a show for a while, but I want to talk a bit about Copenhagen, what's coming up with the Copenhagen conference and what's the warnings coming from a variety of sources. We've got some interesting articles there. We've got Alex Jones' new film, The Fall of the Republic, which I watched yesterday.
Yep.
And watched it right through. And it was quite a good film. I mean, you know, I haven't always been an ardent fan of Alex Jones films. You know, I've always thought they've got good information in them, but I've always been hesitant to kind of recommend them to people, right?
Oh, yeah, because they're very hardcore. Like, his voice is so, you know, negative. And you kind of left like, whoa, you know, slapped in the face with the big, you know, growling fish, you know. It's and with reality, you know, really. I mean, but sometimes it's a bit over the top as well in its presentation.
However, I'll you know, say for this time, I think this is one that I will give to people.
Right.
This is one I'll actually give to people. It still is a bit harsh. You know, the film is harsh. The threats that are being proposed in this film, I mean, you know, he's already set the stage with Endgame and you know, these scenarios that he's mapped out where he's basically proposing that there is a global scientific dictatorship which is trying to turn our Earth into a prison planet. And that is the theme of Alex Jones. And a lot of people find that concept just too shocking to conceive, right? but he has that many like good, credible people in the film explaining parts of the puzzle that I think that there is merit in what he's saying. And, you know, of course, he's not saying that, that it's going to happen. He's saying that they want it to happen. So the question is, you know, that's raised in the film, can we stop it from happening?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get into that a bit more shortly. We've also got another Australian story, and I think I might just get into this now because I like to focus on Australian stories when we can. And this story, I think...
SLZs are important.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, we're an Australian show, so we, you know, we have to bring you stuff that's relevant to you, listener, dear listener. Yes. That's our job. So this story came up today. I heard it on the radio as I was heading out to work. Rudd government appoints Costello to Future Fund. Peter Costello has been given a taxpayer-funded job by the Rudd government, helping to run the Future Fund he established as treasurer. He is the latest coalition MP to accept a job offer from the Prime Minister following the recruitment of former Liberal leader Brendan Nelson and former Nationals leader Tim Fischer to diplomatic posts. Liberal leader Malcolm Turnbull this morning welcomed the move, but said there was some irony in Mr. Costello's appointment to the key role.
Given, just a little bit.
Yeah. Given
for,
that the
for the people that don't know that what we're talking about here, overseas and Aussies, you know, this character, Peter Costello, I mean, he was basically the second in charge of the opposition party.
For something like 12 years.
Yeah. When the opposition party was in power, he was second in charge for 12 years, right? So that's like, you know, Dick Cheney going over to be the second in charge of Barack Obama now.
Well, interesting you should point that out, because that did happen. The Secretary of Defense in the US is the same Secretary of Defense that Bush had.
Yeah.
So this is not, this is going on.
So you got to ask yourself, folks, is... You know, I mean, look, there's, you know, is it a two-headed beast here? Are we voting for two different parties, which is actually the same thing? I mean, I would answer definitely yes. You know, you have this false voting crud, you know, around you. But B, this revolving door they talk about when it comes to corporations and governments is starting to become more of a revolving door between left and right as well. And when I say left and right, I mean that very loosely, but this sort of this revolving door where people just get jobs here and there, and there's no sort of real there's no sort of, you know, true meaning behind any sort of stance that they hold, these parties, anymore. They just sort of wallow in where the money is and wallow back out again when it dries up.
Yeah, that is very much the case. And look, the problem is, though, that when you have political parties that supposedly are part of our representational democracy that are basically playing on the same team, you don't have a democracy, okay? So that is the key point that you should take out of this. It is serious. It's not a joke. Okay, we are going to talk Copenhagen, and I want to just play this clip from Christopher Monckton, which was recorded about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's a short one, so I'll play the whole thing in full.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make up your own mind. This is pretty disturbing stuff. Anyway, here we go.
And what are we doing instead? At Copenhagen... this December, weeks away, a treaty will be signed. Your president will sign it. Most of the third world countries will sign it because they think they're going to get money out of it. Most of the left-wing regimes around the world, like the European Union, will rubber stamp it. Virtually nobody won't sign it. I have read that treaty. And what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries in satisfaction of what is called coyly a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it. Now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he'll sign it. And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom for the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever. And neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire, it is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty. That purposeless treaty, for there is no problem with the climate, and even if there were, economically speaking, there's nothing we can do about it. So I end by saying to you the words that Winston Churchill addressed to your president in the darkest hour before the dawn of freedom in the Second World War. He quoted from your great poet Longfellow, "Sail on, O ship of state. Sail on, O Union. Strong and great. Humanity, with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate." Thank you.
Well, there we have it.
Bloody hell. Newton. Wow, yeah. That's a pretty powerful statement right there, isn't it, folks?
Enough to make your hair stand on end, isn't it? Now, look, he's a very powerful speaker. He's a very accomplished
speaker. Now, where can people find this, Harold? Where can people find that? Because I want them to tweet it. I want them to get it on their Facebook. I want them everywhere. I want them to spread that far and wide. That needs to go viral.
Well, yes. It has been spreading around, but, probably most of the punters aren't aware of it, as we say. We'll certainly make it available on Truth News.
That's the show notes, truthnews.com.au, and we'll also post it on our Twitter. I'm sure we can do that. Is that right, Harold?
It is already on the TNRA Twitter feed. Yes, it's there already. Christopher Monckton on global government and global warming. So you'll find it there. Now, this story was picked up by a writer for The Australian. Wasn't published in the broadsheet, but it was published on the Australian blog site by Jeanette Albrechtson. And I'm just trying to find that story, which I posted here somewhere. Ah, yes. Beware the UN's Copenhagen plot. Now, this was This came out last week. Janet Albrickson, she's a writer for the News Limited in Sydney. And it's quite a thoughtful article, actually. It's surprisingly good. I mean, you know, we don't expect much of our journalists here, do we? I mean, like, we're pleasantly, like, amazed and surprised when they do something, when they write something that's actually quite good.
Oh, I was just blown away by this.
Right. Oh, so you've seen that article? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good. And look at the number of comments, 191 comments on there. And I bet you'll find the comments are just as interesting as the article.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just scroll down here and read a few. What you find, I love the way people put a lot of thought into their comments on these important issues. I mean, here's one. Just here's the top, the one that's at the top of the list at the moment. We have to have public debate. We have to have more public debate. Why is the PM so deafeningly silent on this issue? Why is he so insistent for Australia to be one of the front runners to sign up when it is going to cost us so much and it will make such little impact? If the assessment of the subtext of the Copenhagen draft is true, and you link that to the PM's ambition to be on the Security Council and to the speculation that maybe he covets the Secretary General post, it all makes more sense. Who has the courage to take him to task? The apathetic public needs to wake up before it is too late. Is the national media so bound to Labor's cause that it cannot speak out? This is a real danger to Australia's sovereignty. The European commissars have achieved frightening powers using a similar stealth approach. The political elites of the world seem to think that it may also work through the UN. I mean, I love that. I love the way people sit down and write a thoughtful, well-reasoned, well-written. And you know, whenever these crucial stories come up, you always get this. You always get this avalanche of passion from which proves that we actually do have a thinking general, a thinking public. You know what I mean? We have a huge number of people out there who, if we did have a democracy, be it an anarchistic one or, you know, some other form. I'm not, you know, saying what it should be in its final form. All I'm saying is that if we did have freedom,
yes,
and rule of the people over their own lives,
yeah,
well, we are more than capable of doing that. We have the intelligence, we have the education, we have the ability to. We don't need a tiny group of super elites sitting in boardrooms in the top banks, the central banks, making decisions for us. We really don't need that.
No, I mean
we just don't.
It's
need
absolutely
that.
Absurd. I mean, you've got in that speech. He stated enforcement. Now, what
it's
does
outrageous.
That mean, enforcement? It means force. It means force. It means an army. And it means, you know, honestly, it means an army to rule over the world. And that sounds ridiculous and over the top, but it'll all happen very slowly. And you won't see it straight away. You'll see a little bit here and a little bit there, and it'll all be like, oh, yeah, we need peacekeepers. And they'll be all twisted. The words will be all twisted like, you know, like they call them now, peacekeepers, when really they're just war creators. But this is how it happens. You need enforcement, because the countries that don't pay the debts or the carbon credits to the national, to the global banking elites, to the banks, let's just call them banks, will need to be punished.
Yes.
And you will see this now. And because the only way you can create an army is with enforced taxation of the people. If you don't tax people by force, you cannot create an army. It's just uneconomical. A private company cannot become an army without taxpayer-funded, free, you know, like our people go, oh, well, what about Blackwater? Well, that's still all funded by taxpayer dollars. So what's happening here is we're building a global tax base, a global way of taxing the people for their breathing, for their cows, for their any sort of carbon. We're all carbon, folks. We're all made of carbon, and carbon is the excuse to shackle us.
Carbon is one of the four essential building blocks of life. Carbon is so important to life, and carbon dioxide is one of the most important compounds on this planet that without which life cannot exist.
Yeah.
CO2, right? Oxygen. I mean CO2 is a form of carbon and oxygen combined together. But the elements that are essential to life, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen,
light, water,
sunlight. Yeah. Well, you know, water is formed from hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
Sunlight is the energy input source that makes it all work. The plants breathe the carbon dioxide. They breathe that in. That's literally their fuel.
Yep.
The sun.
They create fiber from it.
Yeah, that's actually their the material that they build, that trees and all vegetation is built out of. It comes from the CO2 that they breathe in. The sunlight then brings in additional energy to that to synthesize more molecular structures,
Harold, it's just so sick. It's just so sick. I see these images of these people, well-meaning. You know, they're well-meaning people. They really believe this stuff. And, you know, they're getting their children, their little cute children, holding up signs saying, save our future, you know, global warming, stop, you know, make Copenhagen count.
I know.
We've got the endless
parading of photos of polar bears. And can I just say, actually, I should have put this on the list of notes for tonight. And in fact, we will, because I've done a bit of research into the polar bear situation. Polar bears have never had it so good.
Mm.
It's a fact. It's irrefutable. Polar bear numbers have increased by 90% over the last 50 years. It's more incredible than you can believe, because you've probably, you know, we've all heard that the polar bear is threatened, right? And I even thought that must be true. Well, they wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. Well, it's just not true. I mean, they say it's threatened, but what does that mean? When they say it's threatened, it's not in decline, okay? You've got to understand language when they use language. They say it's threatened. What they mean is at some point in the future, the polar bears might die out. Well, at some point in the future, we might die out, okay? But right now, the polar bears are not, you know, they're not in a bad state. The polar bear numbers reached their lowest point in the 1950s and have been increasing steadily since then. I've got a few really good articles on that, which I'll put up. But, polar bear numbers, and, you know, take it, research it yourself. If you're listening to this, if you don't know this, follow the links that we put on the site. Polar bear numbers are huge, folks. Mm. What more can I say? How more clearly can I put it? That the polar bears are not dying out. They're not dying out. They're increasing. Okay.
Look, I mean, it just goes on. Look, I just one of these other comments on this article, which is beware the UN's Copenhagen plot. That's the link on the Australian.
We should have explained that article a bit better. Beware the UN's Copenhagen plot. Yeah.
So Google that, folks, and it's an amazing read. But some of this comment by a fellow calls himself Watty. I suggest that Rudd's ego and blatant lust for international recognition. Remember the tragic salute to Bush? Are the driving forces behind his support for this new government order about to unfold in Copenhagen? And, you know, that really rings true. You know, I think a lot of the time these people are just driven by ego. They really, you know, I mean, I do think there's something a bit more behind Rudd. I think he's definitely getting whispers from certain elites. But a lot of it, I think, is ego as well. I think
massive
he really
ego.
Wants to be an international man. I mean, you got to think about who these people are. What drives you to become a politician? What drives you to become a federal politician? And what drives you to become a prime minister? You want to become a leader. You're so egotistical to think that you've got all the answers to every problem for every Australian. I mean, the audacity of that concept, that you've got all the answers and that you can fix Australia. It is so ridiculous that one person can fix all the problems for you and me, and then think, well, okay, so these guys are obviously very egotistical. What's more of an ego? Well, to conquer Earth, you know, to be internationally recognized as a leader. What's even better? To set up some new global order. Oh, I was in charge of this global order. And I think, you know, I think there's definitely something in that.
Yeah, look, there's so much that we need to just basically explain and reinforce. Because I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We need to reverse the propaganda. Because what has happened is there has been this constant onslaught of propaganda for decades, and it's increased in its pressure over the last 5 years. I'd say it gradually grew. I noticed it gradually increasing, about 3 or 4 years ago, it just reached like mega proportions. It just reached like a blitzkrieg kind of level, where it was coming at you all the time. They just kept repeating it and kept repeating it. And back then, back in about 2004, 2005, I mean, I was already a climate skeptic at that point, but I didn't really see what was happening. I didn't see where the problem was coming. I couldn't see the punch coming, the sucker punch, right?
Yeah.
Now, at that time, it looked like they were going to use global warming as a reason to bring in nuclear power. I thought, oh, they're using it as a reason to bring in nuclear power.
Yes, so did I.
But it didn't happen that way. It then turned into...
Well, that's where it came from, if I may interject.
Yeah, sure.
That's where Thatcher really jumped on board the global warming bandwagon, is that Margaret joined up with the Greens in England because she was so frightened of this the Middle East having all the oil, that basically the energy, so in case there was a war or something, they could just get cut off from energy by the Middle East. And so she really wanted nuclear, but they just had Chernobyl. That sort of scare of Chernobyl was definitely in people's minds of what would happen in fallouts and this and that. And so people just didn't want to go there. You then had this global warming thing. Slowly she jumped on board with these are very strange bedfellows.
Sure.
To have the Greens in bed with Margaret Thatcher.
And environmentalists were coming out saying, you know, nuclear power is the only answer.
Yeah.
You know, for a while.
Absolutely. And because the fear is so intense, folks. The fear is the death of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's really, you've got to prick your ears and listen. When someone says, hey, we're destroying the planet and the planet could be dead in, you know, the next 10 years. First thing you do is you prick your ears up, especially if you're getting told that in primary school.
Oh, that's when the indoctrination really occurs. That's when it's most powerful.
Well, that's
most
when it
intense.
Began for me. I mean, I was in primary school and I was getting told that global warming was happening. I mean, this was in the mid 80s.
Sure.
Early 80s, sorry, I should say.
And kids at school now, I mean, they're being taught to become little enviro-Nazis. They are seriously being taught to, you know, tell their parents off, you know. Tell mummy and daddy off if they flush the toilet too much, you know. Mummy and daddy have to be taught. But they give the children this inflated sense of power by doing that. And this is really happening. I've got articles about it where people are talking about it. Journalists are talking about it.
Oh, no, we've mentioned it on the show before.
We did last time, didn't we? Yeah. It's really happening. I mean, don't make no mistake about it. This is occurring. And
folks, the Copenhagen Treaty, really, honestly, I would honestly encourage everybody to grab that clip and stick it on their Facebook page. And I know pretty much 90% of people have got Facebook now. Just stick it up there and share it with your friends. Get your friends interested in reality. Get your friends interested in the reality of what's going on. What's about to pass in the next 2 weeks at this Copenhagen conference is literally going to set up world government.
Yeah, incrementally. You know, they're setting up the basis of it. Later on, they'll add to it. It's never going to happen overnight. And this is where we all get confused, But if we allow them to set up a precedent that gives them kind of
the legal, it's the legal groundwork, and it's also the legal groundwork for the taxing infrastructure, the global taxing infrastructure, to fund such a vast new government, and you know, all the new people and the buildings and the you know, and eventually the armies.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'll get, we have to start policing. Enforcement. What is enforcing? Enforce. The force behind it.
Absolutely. Let's take a break for a song.
Bring it on.
Here we go. This is Leonard Cohen.
Moving through the station. Where I thank you for those items that you sent me. The monkey and the plywood violin. I practice every night. Now I'm ready. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Remember me, I used to live for music. Baby. Remember me, I brought your groceries in. Ooh, baby, yeah. Well, it's Father's baby. Day, and everybody's wounded. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
But they told me it was good for me. But they said it was fine. They told me that it was good for me.
Well, you need the proper information. I'm sorry to tell you, you obviously haven't been listening to Truth News Radio Australia.
No. But I will now.
Okay, we're back.
Oh, those little stings.
Bit of a comedy promo there. We haven't done that one for a while.
No, I mean, I was just... it's a great little track, that one.
Not bad, not bad. Yes, first yeah. They took Manhattan, and now look, where are we going to take it next?
Well, Copenhagen.
First
they take Manhattan, then they take Copenhagen.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the world, Pinky.
Yeah, yeah. Now, look, before we get into the next really, really substantially hair-raising section of the show, which you're going to have to fasten your seatbelts for, I just want to take a little bit of time out to talk about the Truth News T-shirt, which is coming out this week. We are getting the Truth News T-shirt printed.
Yes, and, very exciting.
Yeah, and this is a fantastic opportunity to get a little piece of history.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a link up there on the site so you can buy it.
Wow.
We're getting them printed this week. We'll have them at the film screening that we're doing on Saturday, the 7th of November. If you don't know about it, go to wearechange.org.au and you'll see the film information there. That's the Loose Change 9/11 and American Coup. Which,
that's in Newtown, and it's free. It's just donation.
Indeed, it's free. It's very free. And it'll be a great night. It'll be a really
There'll
awesome
music.
Night.
There will be music.
There will be music. We're not going to have the original band that I'd scheduled to have on. Interestingly, they decided they didn't want to come when they found out that we don't support Al Gore. Anyway,
well.
That's. I thought that was kind of amusing and ridiculous.
Well, thank God they found that out.
Yes, I think it's all for the best. But yep. we've got some other people who are going to be doing some great stuff, including me.
You're going to be doing a bit of a track.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Folks that don't know, Harold's a very talented guitarist and singer, actually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So we will have a great lineup for you on Saturday night, and we'll have the T-shirts there for sale.
Yeah.
And we'll also have them on sale through the Truth News website as soon as we have them ready. And we've created a selling option on the page, which we have to do, and we will do.
Check out the design as well. It's a great design.
Oh, it's great.
We've pondered for ages trying to get the perfect front and back, a great quote on the back and a great Great quote on the front.
There's just enough seriousness and just enough wit and humour, I think. It's got the right balance.
Yeah, you'll have to, folks, you'll have to log on to check it out. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Please do. And look, another really important event on the heels of that, we have the great 9/11 conference.
And huge, huge, folks. I mean, we've got...
Yeah.
Well, Herald, give us the lineup. Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's massive.
The top people are coming to Sydney. Richard Gage is going to be in Sydney on Wednesday, the 11th of November. He's going to be with the 9/11 Truth Action Group outside the ABC. And they're all going to be out there, folks. They're going to be out there in front of the ABC with Richard Gage with the big banner for Architects and Engineers for Truth, right? With the man who created it. It's beautiful. You can't get better than that, can you?
So, folks, please come along. We need numbers there.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy. We're a friendly bunch, and we usually go out for a little beer afterwards. And it's really important that we show numbers here because, you know, if you only get out once a year to one of these truth actions, come out this time. It'll be on the 11th of...
11th of November. That's November. Remembrance Day, indeed.
And it's really you know, get out there to the ABC in Sydney and come along. You know, if you're going to catch a bus up from Melbourne or Adelaide, you know, or catch a plane. Planes are cheap now. Just get up there. We get in contact with John Bursell. You know, he'll figure out somewhere we can crash or whatever.
He'll sort you out.
Log on to 9/11 Oz. There'll be someone there that'll help you out and can crash on their lounge or whatever. And you know, we need people.
We can never have too many, you know. So don't think, oh, I won't come because other people are going and I don't need to. It's not like that. You've got to go. You've got to add to it.
Yeah. I mean, imagine 50, 60, 100 people outside of the ABC, they'd think, holy moly, what's going on here, you know?
That's right. There's a threshold. I keep saying this. There's a threshold. And over that threshold, they'll bring the cameras out and they'll start filming it because it'll suddenly be a news story.
Yeah.
They can't help it. They're a news organization. They can only suppress the news so far.
Yeah.
They're limited in how they can... This is what... Like, you really got to understand this, folks. Do you know that film, The Bug's Life, Josh? You know that Pixar film, A Bug's Life?
Mm.
Do you know there's that scene with the grasshoppers and the ants where the grasshoppers are kind of like talking among themselves?
Mm.
And they're saying, look, if the ants ever realize just how many of them there are and how few of us there are, it's finished.
And that's why they're saying squash that one, because that one's telling all of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let one get away with it.
Yeah.
They say, well, why do we let one? You know, one's only, they're not going to harm us. There's one little ant. Well.
Yeah, he'll tell the others. And then suddenly they'll all realize. And once they all realize, it's done.
It's finished.
So I'd like to get that clip, actually. We should get the audio of that and play it sometime because it's really good with the, you know, the voices.
Oh, it's
Yeah.
Clever buggers. See, absolutely. That's the thing. A lot of these, you know, huge films have these little gems in there.
They do.
But the thing is, what they do psychologically, they make it feel like, oh, no, this person, even though he's totally normal person, usually the main character is totally normal, you know, like Neo, totally normal person in The Matrix.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden there's something special, something so special about them that they can change the world. But what we do is we think, oh, no, there was something special about them. I can't do it.
So it's interesting, yeah.
No, I can't. There's something special about Neo. Well, no, there's not. He's just a person. For some reason, special. He's the one. He's not the one. You know, we're all the one.
There's something special about everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we've got to stop with this, oh, no, you know, we've got to be this
the leader,
sort of
the
crazy,
leader complex.
Outgoing person to be able to go out in the street and pass information. Look, and also, if you don't know too much about 9/11, it doesn't matter. We've got people very well versed. All you have to do is stand there and give out leaflets with us, you know, just to show the numbers that you're in support of this movement, to get some truth back into and some reality back into life.
Indeed. And, you know, as I was saying earlier in the show, you do cop a bit of flack sometimes, but the more people you have, the less likely that is to happen. When it happens is when you're on your own, and I've been on my own quite a few times. I've been out there all by myself with a flyer in my hand, and you can cop some flack.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good to do it though.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's really great to do it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And you experience all these different emotions inside yourself and you actually learn more about yourself from doing it. And it's funny, you can get really upset and then later on you realize how silly and how pointless to get upset. You know, and another time, the next time you'll be fine. You know what I mean? It was just in that moment you got upset because you got all caught up in some way of seeing things that was bound to your own ego, and it's like, you know. So that's really interesting. It's a kind of a self-development thing, I reckon you could call it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, not to take people's, you know, outbursts too personally, but to realize that, oh, you know, those poor buggers, they're really lost, really don't understand reality. They don't understand that, you know, you say to someone, oh, look, do you understand that wars are mainly primarily funded by drugs? And they'll just laugh at you, you know. But you sort of think, oh, you poor sod, like as if you don't really understand, like as if you don't know that. I mean, do you think that, you know, the taxpayers can keep on actually, you know, do these secret, you know, CIAs and stuff, the secret agencies can really, you know, keep going to Congress for more money? Well, they can't, because that otherwise it wouldn't be secret. So they've got to go out and sell all these drugs. And you know, that's why Afghanistan's got the biggest bumper crop of opium ever. But anyway, I'm digressing. What I'm saying is, people, you've got to sort of laugh at, not laugh, but sort of almost like just not feel bad about yourself, but sort of think, wow, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, to really open up people's eyes to reality, because they've just been spoon-fed this crap through the broadcast medium.
There is, and they've also been they've been hypnotized by the concept of the tribal leader. We're very susceptible to that. And this is a kind of a segue into what I'm going to talk about next, which is the Fall of the Republic, which is the new Alex Jones film, because they really made some good points in that film about the way in which the elite, you know, those who would like to be our rulers, I prefer to say that than actually calling them our rulers, you know what I mean? Those who would like to be our rulers think that they can manipulate us, and you know they do succeed to a large extent by manipulating our tendency to fall under the sway of tribal leaders and the concept of allegiance to your tribe.
Oh yeah,
it's an ancient thing. It's encoded in our genes probably, and it's deep in our psychology to have this tendency. Now. There are some good things about that. I wouldn't say it's all bad, you know, because it's where the family also comes from. You know, you do have in a family that tribal allegiance. And there is there's bigger sense of a tribe when you think about larger groups and then nations and even the whole human race. We can all, you know, have a sense that we're part of that. When you're naively manipulated by it, you see, what they spend a bit of time in this film explaining how sport, you see, we just think sport is just a phenomenon that's purely what it seems to be. It's just entertainment, and it's just there because we like it and because we want it, and the sports stadiums were built because we wanted them. No, it was all done in advance with a very serious aim of social engineering. Because sports stadiums didn't occur before. I mean, they occurred in ancient Rome, of course. That was the gladiators, right? And we know that we know why the Romans did it. There's no debate about that. There's no debate. If you read history books about why the Romans did it, of course it's clear. It was a way of controlling the masses, giving them some spectacle to feast on, to feel, you know, they feel awe-inspired by the spectacle of the great empire. And then, and the secondary reason is it purges their own feelings of hatred and anger and resentment by focusing it on this external event.
As the quote, give them bread and circuses, you know.
Bread and circuses.
It's sort of, you know, you give them money, you give them free welfare, to so that you love them and you're dependent on them.
Yes.
And give them circuses. So back then, it's you know, people killing each other with lions. Nowadays, it's e-news and sports.
Yes, and if you think that the modern-day sports stadiums and mega sports is anything different to what the ancient Romans were doing, you just don't have a clue. I mean, you haven't even opened your eyes. Wake up. It's so obvious once you see it. But the way we do it now is much more clever than the Romans, because we basically created these tribal allegiances with our giant football teams. And it sucks people's energy. It sucks all of their enthusiasm, all of their passion, all of the things that drive people into this totally commercialized,
yes,
totally fake paradigm.
Where are folks? The male, the man, the man in us, in the male side of the species, has got a thing deep inside of most of us that have this drive to protect. So when we feel that there's a threat, we get angry and we grab our axes and we run out and we need to protect our little tribe or our family or whatever from literal real dangers, like our wives getting raped or and killed, and our houses getting burnt down. So we run out there and we get real rushes of adrenaline to really truly protect what we hold most dearest, our crops and our families. This has been now manipulated to, you know, and then once you win the battle, you come back and you celebrate and everyone cooks big meals and you have this big, you know. Nowadays, this has been manipulated into ridiculous, mindless fluff. Like you have for instance, Herod, this is a great example. Yeah. We have in Australia here the match between Queensland between New South Wales and Queensland every year. What's the that's how much I don't even follow this thing anymore.
But the State of Origin? Or?
The State of Origin, yeah. Exactly. The State of Origin rugby match. So this happens every year where we have three matches between New South Wales and Queensland. And someone's actually gone through over the 50 years that this thing's been going, or whatever, how many years, and it's all averages out where both sides have won about the same. But the thing that is just does my head in is, like, every year people get so upset, and you just think, why, mate? They're just going to play it again next year. Well, what's the big deal, you know?
Yeah, look, it's the human being is susceptible to being manipulated by this. It's just there in the psyche, and I just wish people could understand better. Unfortunately, there isn't that much understanding of it.
Look, and I mean, it is sport is a good release for you know the sort of need for energy to push it out and not, you know, have to go around actually killing each other. And no one wants to do that. We all want to live in peace. But what sport is being used for is this sort of vast entertainment of fluff when there's true atrocities going down, like wars in Afghanistan, wars in Iraq, and no one seems to care. That passion to protect and for justice is going into ridiculous notions, like who's going to win the State of Origin this year? Is it going to be purple or blue? And so the it's all misdirected and driven into these ridiculous, pointless sport games, which have no basis in have no circumstance to reality, have no real circumstance to anything apart from maybe a financial circumstance to the owners of the clubs. But totally useless for the person actually who cares about the sport. So the person at home barracking for their team, they're not going to financially win apart from if they maybe have a bet on it. But that most of them really have no real advantage of winning or losing, yet some people can't even go to work the next day if their team loses. They're so angry at it. And imagine if that passion was actually put into real virtuous action into the world of, hey, let's stop these wars. Imagine, folks, just imagine that.
Yeah.
The amount of passion that these people that really love their sports, if they actually spent half a minute and put put that sort of passion into you know, fighting this corruption and despicable things we're doing in Afghanistan, Iraq, and all over the world.
Now, just getting back to the point of departure here, which was the film. It's fine. I mean, look,
it's a really good point.
It's good that we're talking about sport because we haven't discussed it. You know, so it's a huge theme. I mean, we could really go a long way with that. And you know, they give it some good treatment in the Alex Jones film, and you know, I think it's great that Alex Jones, you know, we've all had issues with the guy, okay. But, you know, and he's a big Texan, right? Traditionally, he'd be the sort of person, he'd be there cheering at the football matches, you know what I mean? But there he is, basically pointing out the underlying conspiracy of the way these institutions have been set up to actually wake you up. And, you know, that's gold. I mean, it's really, it's special. And what I've said in, I wrote like a really micro little review of this film. As I see it, it's a film which kind of ties together a few themes. Oops, I tried to get a website up there and put the wrong thing in my browser. Okay, you've got to be pretty sharp with your fingers these days.
Oh, yeah, with the resolution of screens these days.
It's very easy to just hit the wrong button and go to the wrong place. Okay, here we go. This is just my little, you know, two-paragraph review. This, in my opinion, is the best film Alex Jones has made. Not that I've seen all of them, but I've seen the last three or four. Thankfully, it is free of bullhorning and consists only of credible talking heads, experts in a wide variety of fields, with Alex Jones as narrator. I think this film highlights better than any other the nexus of power which connects the global financial crisis, the war on terrorism, CO2/climate change, the international banking cartels, and the evolving scientific dictatorship under which we are living. I still think there are problems in the way some statements are presented as facts when they are really interpretations and possibly exaggerations, but there are enough real facts to outweigh these concerns. This is a good film to get people up to speed with the whole spectrum of research on truth, freedom, and the globalist agenda.
I haven't seen the film yet. You're really getting me to wanting to see this now.
You'll enjoy it. I've got a little trailer here. It's a 2-minute one. I'll just play that, maybe give you a taste of it. Here we go.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
Now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
One of the greatest events in history is taking place before our very eyes.
Don't sit down. I have a question for this young man. He has the right to be represented.
It's up to every man, woman, and child in the United States to decide whether we're going to be fooled by the slick propaganda of the social engineers or whether we're going to restore the republic.
We have seen this erosion to the point where today it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Who's going to soak up the derivatives? Who's going to soak up the debt? Who's going to be penalized?
Enron's CEO, Ken Lay, was involved in discussions with you at the White House about helping develop this type of policy, this trading scheme.
I don't know.
Do you think it's consistent with the spirit of that provision of the Constitution to hand out $500 billion to foreigners?
Will we choose liberty or will we choose tyranny?
The Republic is hanging by a thread.
You don't have a president. You have an actor.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to? Who do we sell these matches to?
the last vestiges of our free system of government are being swept away. Fall of the Republic. Volume 1, The Presidency of Barack Obama. Available on DVD at Infowars.com and online at PrisonPilot.tv. The destiny of humanity is in our hands. October 21st, 2009.
That's Fall of the Republic, a short trailer there. Recommend it. Recommend it to everyone. You'll get some.
That trailer doesn't really do it for me, I'm assuming.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's all a very. I don't know.
How do you think the film would
be better than the trailer?
Okay. Yeah. What was your like response to the trailer?
I don't know. I just feel that it's all of it's very American-centric, but I guess it's aimed at the American market.
Sure.
But it's also I don't know. This whole the nations will save us instead of global nations. You know, I mean, I just think it's all a bit absurd, really.
How do you can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Well, I think we should do a whole show on anarchism. Because I feel
I see. Okay, we're getting back to that again. Well, look, I mean, the point is, okay, well, let's just clarify, I think. Okay, this show, like Truth, what I think Truth News is we are in the kind of business of getting you the facts as best we can about any subject.
Yeah, from a libertarian, freedom-loving perspective, I guess. I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and you know, you're like you, Josh. You're an ardent believer in what you believe, and I'm an ardent believer in what I believe.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, I mean, you can talk about anarchism. I can talk about that. I'd like to bring in a form of ancient Egyptian rule, where I'm the pharaoh. Okay. Yeah. No, really, and because I know it would be good and just, because I'd be a damn fine pharaoh.
Right.
Okay, all you'd have to do is just build a giant pyramid for me, and I would make sure that everyone was well paid and well taken care of.
Right,
you know what I mean? But basically, those are our personal opinions. And
absolutely. And you asked me what my personal opinion.
Yeah. That's all. And so we are here basically to question and to explore. But your criticism
we're definitely
of,
not, you know, I'm sorry to interject there. Yeah. I just want to, you know, I mean, anyone who's been listening to us for a while will know that we are an opinion piece show. We're not, but we do try to give just the side that never gets exposed anywhere else.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, when you say opinion, you see, I try to think of us more as actually trying to get to the truth.
Yeah.
And of course, it's always going to be my opinion, and that's a given. But it's it's not sort of like a political, like I'm not here, like this show isn't here to push a particular political solution for the world.
No.
Like you know, there's all different, you know, ideas that have been proposed. Socialism, free market capitalism, you know. There's anarcho-capitalism. There's more traditional, you know, theocratic ways of running society. The way I see it, like what my vision is that I can't provide those answers. And I don't like this is not like the information arm of a political party where it's basically you know this is our ideology. No, all I'm trying to do is get the information out that's actually
absolutely
that's being blocked.
Absolutely, I'm there 100% with you, Harold. I think it's, you know, it's really important that we really don't understate that fact that we are not politically connected. We're not religiously connected.
Yeah.
We are just two guys that really see articles that need to be exposed.
Yeah, and we get on this show people who have a variety of opinions, We don't include it, the whole spectrum. I mean, obviously we don't get white supremacists on the show, you know.
No, because they're absolutely. I mean, in my mind, it's just evil to be.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, to be a white supremacist, I just think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're not going to interview pedophiles, you know.
No.
Again,
another ridiculously evil.
Yeah.
You know, bunch of freaks.
Yeah.
And when I say evil, I mean that's just it's a weird term as well, but
absolutely, yeah. But anyway, but so you're probably of the opinion that the Alex Jones kind of argument, and but I mean he's got a lot of talking heads on the show, extensive interviews with Gerald Celente.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think the trailer. I mean, look, I cut trailers all the time for my work, and sometimes I see trailers for movies and the trailers are just absolutely just really don't make you want to see the movie. You see the movie and you think, wow, thank God I didn't listen to the trailer. Thank God I went and saw it because it's amazing.
Yeah, so because really, you can't when a movie basically consists of a lot of spoken information that you have to listen to it right through. You can't just sort of take little sound grabs of it
and
put it all together because then it just sounds like rubbish. Yeah. You've got to actually listen to a full statement from someone before it makes sense. Mm. For good or ill, it's out there and you'll...
You can watch it free, right?
Yeah. There's a very high quality YouTube, complete thing is on YouTube.
Yeah, and that's put up there by Alex Jones, so it's not
like
you're totally pirating anything. He's put it out there for everyone to view for free, so I think that's just extraordinarily... virtuous of someone who, you know, he wants to make a profit through donations by you voluntarily going and paying on prisonplanet.tv, but he's so passionate about it, the information, which to me really, shows when someone is willing to give something out for free, some information, you've got to take notice because you're sort of realizing, well, this guy or this girl is very passionate about the information.
When he does it for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe, you know, one or two, you'd think, well, maybe it was just to build the marketing thing. But no, he just keeps on doing it year after year. It's all free. Everyone's free. It is unusual. Interesting guy. Okay, we'll just take a quick break here.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Okay, in our last segment for the evening, I want to quickly run through an article by Ron Paul, which I discovered today. Did you get a chance to look at that one, Josh?
No, but I bumped across it by going on to the Truth News Oz Twitter page, and went to go to read it, and then I got distracted.
I think it's interesting because the title is "Be Prepared for the Worst." The large-scale government intervention in the economy is going to end badly. Ron Paul, a congressman of many, many years standing, with a really deep knowledge of the system, and he's the guy who started the Audit the Fed bill, where they're trying to get the Federal Reserve audited, and he's leading that. He's he knows about as much as anyone about, you know, in government, about how the financial system works. So, you know, take it seriously. Because all we're hearing at the moment is up, up, up. Everything's up. You know, great, the recovery. And the recovery's faster than we thought. Of course, they're saying in the US it's a jobless recovery, whatever the hell that means. but, they're saying that it's all growing. Now, he says in here, a false recovery is underway. I am reminded of the outlook in 1930 when the experts were certain that the worst of the Depression was over and that the recovery was just around the corner. The economy and stock market seemed to be recovering.
That's right.
And there was optimism that the recession, like many of those before it, would be over in a year or less. Instead, the interventionist policies of Hoover and Roosevelt caused the depression to worsen, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average did not recover until 1954. I fear that our stimulus and bailout programs have already done too much to prevent the economy from recovering in a natural manner and will result in yet another asset bubble. Anytime the central bank intervenes to pump trillions of dollars into the financial system, a bubble is created that must eventually deflate. We have seen the results of Alan Greenspan's excessively low interest rates, the housing bubble, the explosion of subprime loans, and the subsequent collapse of the bubble, which took down numerous financial institutions. Rather than allow the market to correct itself and clear away the worst excesses of the boom period, the Federal Reserve and the US Treasury colluded to put taxpayers on the hook for trillions of dollars. Those banks and financial institutions that took on the largest risks and performed worst were rewarded with billions in taxpayer dollars, allowing them to survive and compete with their better managed peers. This is nothing less than the creation of another bubble. By attempting to cushion the economy from the worst shocks of the housing bubble's collapse, the Federal Reserve has ensured that the ultimate correction of its flawed economic policies will be more severe than it otherwise would have been. Even with the massive interventions, unemployment is near 10% and likely to increase. Foreigners are cutting back on purchases of treasury debt, and the Federal Reserve's balance sheet remains bloated at an unprecedented $2 trillion. Can anyone realistically argue that a few small upticks in a handful of economic indicators are a sign that the recession is over? What is more likely happening is a repeat of the Great Depression. We may have up to a year or so of an economy growing just slightly above stagnation, followed by a drop in growth worse than anything we have seen in the past 2 years. As the housing market fails to return to any sense of normalcy, commercial real estate begins to collapse, and manufacturers produce goods that cannot be purchased by debt-strapped consumers. The economy will falter. That will go on until we come to our senses and end this wasteful government spending. Anyway, it's a good article.
Look, the thing is that if you give a child that is screaming out for a lolly, just screaming and shouting and yelling and having tantrums, then you give him a lolly or her, that'll shut the child up for a minute. But what have you actually taught the child? You've taught the child that if you scream and yell and throw your toys out the pram, you get a lolly. So what happens when the big banking sector says, we're too big to fail, give us money, and then the whole of the state prints vast amounts of money, inflating the money supply, and subsequently making everything more expensive? What happens when you give the banks all that money for free? What they do is we go, oh, we can keep doing dodgy deals and bad debts and crap and stuff because we're too big to fail. We can keep. And if you folks think the banks have stopped acting badly with their financial strategies, if you think they've actually corrected themselves and thought, oh, well, we better not do that again, you're vastly mistaken. They've probably doubled it. They've probably gone worse. Because what they've said is, hey, we're too big to fail. We can just keep doing this. We can keep having really bad mortgages and AAA rate them and this and that and do this. Nothing has changed, folks. And that's only one part of it. The part that Ron Paul's talking about right there is the inflation of the money supply, which is creating vast bubbles. Because when you start manipulating markets, when you start getting into a free market and saying, hey, over here is free, but over here is not, and money over here is, and what you're doing is actually creating bubbles, which are about to burst. And by saving the economy, by thinking, because no one person can decide how to fix the economy. The economies of the world and of nations are built of and again, and I hate to bring it up again, but it's a type of anarchy. It's a type of freedom of movement of money of like an ecosystem. There's so many variables. It's impossible to fix by putting something somewhere. You can do short-term fixes, which makes all the voters go yay.
Maybe the correct word is synergy.
Yeah. That's very good.
Yeah.
There's a synergy of a million different factors and variables. And when you try to say, oh, well, that variable's going down, quick, pump money into it. What it does, it creates bubbles. And it fixes it for a quick moment, like the child getting happy. But what have you taught? You've taught that child to cry every time he wants a lolly. And that is what you're seeing here. And we're not talking about a child with lolly. You're talking about the lives of the, you know, of the world, of the industrialized and of the free world.
I think we need to create new words, new terms. How about instead of – how about we create a new political movement called the Synergy Movement? That way it's not connected to anything that has any other connotations, and you can give it whatever connotations you want.
Well, see, this is the problem. Synergy movement. I mean, this the first –
Synergy, where everything just contributes spontaneously to better, you know, better order – better quality of life, you know, the spontaneous, natural way of being. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's really sad about life is that the words have been so messed up that people really do have no clue of what's going on anymore because you say, you know, peacekeeper and they think, oh, yeah, they're keeping the peace.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you when really they're soldiers with guns shooting people
talk about
in the head.
All we ever hear about is peace, peace, peace. And all we see is war, you know.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it goes on and on. Bailout packages. And really, you know, it's not a bailout package. It's just free money. It's just...
But even the term bailout is so ridiculous. I mean, imagine you're on a... I mean, bailing out, that's like what you do in a boat. Okay, when it's leaking. Okay, so if a boat's got a hole in it, right, and you bail it out, is that a solution?
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not plugging the hole, are you?
Is that really a solution to a sinking ship? Just keep bailing?
That's a good point. Yeah. So folks, that's a really good article, Herod. We should link to that, folks.
Yeah.
Stick that on your Facebook page and smoke it.
Absolutely. Light it up. No, don't do that. Let it light up your mind and go with it. Follow it.
So, folks, again, Newtown, come to the film screening. Also, the Truth extravaganza that John Bursell's putting on in 2 weeks' time.
It is going to be amazing. And if you don't want to pay, come to the Loose Change on Saturday. Come to the markets during the day. We'll have bullhorning going all day outside the markets, right? So it's a good experience there. If it's your first time, maybe get out there, you know, do a bit of bullhorning.
Yes, absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely. And go visit truthaction.com. What is it? What's the
truthaction.org? Go to theheartevidence.com.
Yes.
Go to truthaction.org.au. Go to 911oz.com. Go to truthnews.com.au. It's all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll find links to every one of those on every one of those pages. All right, till next week.
Yeah. God bless and good night.
Good night.